Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Friday Roundup. I'm Brandon Walton, the managing editor of Texas Scorecard, and we're going to look at a few of the big stories from this week up at texasscorecard.com. And today we're joined special guests. We're going to spend the whole time with Michael Quinn Sullivan. Michael, you've been out for a few weeks this summer, sort of working, being productive. But Governor Greg Abbott, you've written in your Texas Minute email this earlier this week, has not had a very productive summer. Not been a good summer for Greg Abbott.
It is a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad summer for Greg Abbott. Greg Abbott spent the entire summer, it seems like, bouncing from one really bad position to another really bad position. And that's reflected in the polls. I mean, Greg Abbott, who could do no wrong in the eyes of most voters, and certainly has kind of developed this reputation as the, as everyone's favorite governor, kind of thing, suddenly plummeting like a rock in polling, and all of it related to his handling of the coronavirus, handling of the economy during the coronavirus. You saw him, flip-flopping back and forth on various items, ranging from requiring citizens to wear masks in public. He said they shouldn't, then he said they should. No, there shouldn't be fines. Yes, people should be arrested. Kind of this, constantly shifting landscape, opening businesses, closing them back down. The list goes on and on and on. There's a part of me, I'm not exactly sure, Brandon, how to approach it. Do you look at it like, this is a guy who's maybe out of his depth? He was a judge. Most of his political career spent, in fact, most of his career as an adult spent sitting on the bench. And so, or writing opinions as the AG, which lets you kind of take in one piece of paper, study that one piece of paper, and then move it aside. Just do one thing at a time, very methodical, no real time limits on it. But with all this stuff, I think we're so maybe we're just finding a guy who's really out of his depth, really isn't qualified for it. That's one. Two, and this is maybe the scarier one, is maybe we're finding out that all of us who thought Greg Abbott was this rock-ribbed Republican conservative, maybe we are finding that he wasn't. Maybe we're finding that this pandemic is revealing kind of where his governing heart was all along. Only time is going to tell that for sure over the next couple of months in the legislative session.
Oh, and you pointed out, I mean, it's not just Governor Abbott himself, but it's some of the people he's surrounding himself with. He's got one of his top political advisors, Dave Carney, telling the New York Times just a few weeks ago that Abbott used to talk to President Trump regularly, but he thinks that the president got bored with the coronavirus, which is just an outrageous attack coming from a Republican, leader.
Well, or maybe, Mr. Carney, the president just got bored with regular phone calls from the rock-ribbed conservative governor of Texas needing his hand held by Washington, D.C. with every decision, which is kind of what we saw throughout the summer, that every single thing Greg Abbott did, he did in some ways with the, Washington, D.C. experts are telling me to do this. Well, but is it really best for Texas? Last time I checked, Dr. Fauci isn't a Texan. Maybe we should be making decisions that are good for the people of Texas, which frankly, seems like the people of Texas are saying Greg Abbott hasn't been doing a good job for the people of Texas during all this, again, as evidenced by almost 4 million people being thrown out of employment by the governor's orders. We're seeing this again in the polling data. We're even seeing it in things like, again, going back to that Greg Abbott's really bad summer motif. He endorsed two incumbent Republicans, who incumbents are supposed to get reelected. That's why they're incumbents, right? But his endorsees were he and his team spent thousands and thousands of dollars and his own name and credibility and everything else. They got pummeled in the primary runoffs, lose both of them, 60-40 losses. Meanwhile, the governor's choice to be the chairman of the Republican Party chairman, again, the incumbent, James Dickey, absolutely turned out by Alan West, the former Army lieutenant colonel, who's kind of a grassroots darling anyway. And Colonel West, then immediately upon taking up that mantle in mid-July, has wasted no time in offering very frank and direct criticism of the governor's handling of the economy and the coronavirus. And, you know, the governor had a bad summer, but it's his own fault in a lot of ways.
Well, yeah. And people, I mean, as we're talking about this summer, it seems like an endless summer. This is a good segue as we kind of start to look at a few of these stories we're going to hit from this week. By the way, if you're watching live on Facebook right now, please feel free to leave any comments or questions below. But just yesterday, Governor Abbott continued this. He hasn't given a real press conference in Austin, at least at the Capitol, for months now. But now he's kind of traveling the state and doing these smaller ones. And he was in Lubbock yesterday, Lubbock and El Paso, but he was in Lubbock. And he said, we need folks to be vigilant. They need to be wearing masks, especially with these gatherings of friends and families, even in a backyard. I mean, so I'm listening to this. I'm thinking, you have the family members over. You have, you know, grandpa and grandma or uncle and aunts over for a barbecue, and you need to wear a mask?
Well, and look, I mean, the thing that is a little perplexing about this is that's the same day that you've got Joe Biden and Kamala Harris bashing Trump, you know, the kind of their first outing as the Democrats' presidential and vice presidential nominees, bashing Trump, and with Joe Biden saying we need to mandate all mask usage indoors and outdoors, make it a federal crime, that kind of stuff. And there's Greg Abbott kind of aping Joe Biden in what is clearly a political stunt. So, you know, you keep seeing, you know, for years we hear when conservatives criticize the actions of establishment Republicans in even numbered years, we get told, oh, wait. You can't criticize a Republican in your GOP unity, that kind of stuff. And you certainly shouldn't say anything nice about Democrats in an even numbered year. But yet here's Greg Abbott. He's got his top political advisors, as we mentioned ago, Karl Rove and Dave Carney, attacking the president. Meanwhile, you've got Greg Abbott kind of aping Joe Abbott. Aping Joe Biden in terms of talking points. And I don't have any idea how we're supposed to enforce a mask mandate in people's backyards. You know, talking to them, do we really want the backyard police? The city of Austin has just cut its police budget by a third. So are the remaining police officers supposed to spend their time peering over the backyard fence rather than chasing down the rapist or the burglar? You know, I'm not entirely sure how this stuff is supposed to work other than to inspire fear in the citizenry.
Yeah, and it was, you touched on this a little bit earlier, but I think it's important to note. We talked about the primary elections, the primary runoff elections that happened a few weeks back. And you had one of those people who defeated a Abbott establishment-backed incumbent Republican lawmaker in those primaries. You have Brian Slayton, who's now essentially the state representative-elect, who beat State Representative Dan Flynn, who was endorsed by Abbott. And he made a really, really interesting argument, actually, to hear from the candidate himself, that he thinks Abbott's endorsement played a big role in him winning.
Yeah, that was a pretty shocking a podcast. It's up online. You can go listen to Brian Slayton on the Luke Macias show. And you've got Luke Macias, a campaign consultant who does this kind of, you know, a podcast. It's a really great podcast. Highly encourage folks to check it out and subscribe to it. Always very insightful. But he's interviewing Brian Slayton, talking about, you know, I mean, Brian Slayton took three times to win, all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a very interesting podcast about resilience. Well, they're talking about, okay, so why did you win? Why this time? And among a couple of factors that Slayton pointed to was Greg Abbott's endorsement of Dan Flynn and noting that he had people coming up to him at the polling places saying, you know, I was going to vote for Dan Flynn, but then I saw the governor has endorsed him, so I'm voting for you. I mean, that's not the kind of thing you expect to hear. You know, that's not the kind of thing political advisors want to be hearing about the endorsement value of the governor.
Yeah, another coronavirus related story we had this week, and then we'll move on to some other topics because there are actually, believe it or not, other things happening in the world.
What?
Even though sometimes it doesn't seem like it, but you have State Senator Bob Hall, who's a conservative Republican in the state Senate, who's been on the front lines, specifically, you know, against these shutdown orders, against the mask mandates, but also really specifically in aiding doctors across Texas, doctors who have had success with hydroxychloroquine, with some other alternative treatments to fight the coronavirus. They've received pushback from the Texas State Medical Board, from the Pharmacy Board, and Bob Hall is really the only person, at least the loudest voice in the legislature, fighting back against those. Earlier this week, he held a very lengthy, a very in-depth video virtual press conference with a number of doctors from across the state. And we've got an article about that up at texasscorecard.com. You can check it out in the links below if you're watching on Facebook. But he made the very interesting point that, you know, he's been out there, he's been beating the drum on this, and yet he says that he doesn't see anything from either the legislature or the governor right now that says they're going to do anything, despite his repeated efforts to get the attention made.
Yeah, I mean, like, when you see these kind of instances where you see the medical board, the pharmacy board pushing against doctors who are trying to find things that work for their patients, it puts a lie to the to the idea of, oh, well, we just want to follow good science. We want to, we want to put Texans first, because there's so much evidence that while, you know, it's not a cure-all, it's not a magic bullet, none of those things, but there is lots of evidence that for particular patients, this treatment regimen works. And so you've got the pharmacy board staffed by bureaucrats run by Governor Abbott. You've got the medical board staffed by bureaucrats overseen by Governor Abbott, who are putting themselves in the place of the actual frontline doctor saying, no, we're not going to let you prescribe what is going to work for your patient. And thank goodness you've got Bob Hall, State Senator Bob Hall, wanting to call that out and talk about it. It feels like I know you've got two things happening. One, because President Trump pushed out this procedure, this new treatment regimen,
hydroxychloroquine.
Put this out there as a treatment, you know, possible treatment. Oh, well, so now it has to be opposed for political reasons. Meanwhile, you've got big pharma, and let's make no mistake about this, you know, federal and state level, you know, those big, massive pharmacy companies, they want to make money off of this pandemic, and that, you know, they don't want to hear that there might be something that treats 5%, 10%, 50%, whatever it is, the patients. That's, you know, something that's off the shelf, that doesn't have a patent, that doesn't have we're not making big money off of. They'd rather you take some, you know, brand new designer drug that they can, you know, make a nice jingle around and that they can, you know, sell during Fox News and other things. And so it's disgusting to see that people who tell us to follow the science really don't want to follow science. They want to follow the dollars.
Yes. And Suzette, watching live right now, says no movement from our legislature is a disgrace. I think we'd have to agree.
Yep.
Another big story. So you had yesterday, the city of Austin, they've been talking about doing this for a few weeks. They finally did it. They passed their budget and it cuts police funding by a third. They're slashing the police budget by a third, defunding it. And lest you think, as I think, you know, as fiscal conservatives, we think, you know, regardless of what you think about police funding, you might think, well, I guess maybe there's some fiscal responsibility here. No. that money's not going back to the taxpayers. That money's actually going largely to things like abortion programs and other liberal programs. Taxes are still going to increase in Austin. We're just going to have a third less police.
Yeah, my my son was telling me this morning when we were driving back from our morning run through a park. He was talking to me about the seeing some of the posts up, and he started yesterday evening adding up the numbers. And okay, they're cutting $150 million. The city of Austin is from the Austin Police Department, but yet he started looking at what they're going to spend it on. And not only is it all really horrible stuff, but they're talking about spending a lot more money than they're cutting. So good. Typical socialists, Marxists, they're very quickly running out of other people's money, which is why you also saw the city council vote unanimously to raise taxes earlier in the week. So they're not only they're raising taxes during a time when many people, particularly in Austin, don't have jobs. They are making it more expensive to live in a city already known for being unaffordable. They are slashing the police department that is going to make it in my neighborhood where I live, my part of Austin, we're going to be fine. Most of my neighbors have guns. You don't come into our neighborhood, right? But yet in a lot of neighborhoods, poor neighborhoods, they're the ones that are going to be suffering the brunt of the victimization without appropriate law enforcement. Look, I'm like you, Brandon. Early on in the summer, I wrote a piece. I still stand by. We need to be very careful as conservatives about reflexively defending massive government bureaucracies that are unionized and often work against conservatives. The police union in Austin is no friend to conservatives. On the other hand, we should ask questions about, well, so what are you people doing? What's the point here? And the point seems to be Marxist chaos seems to be the point coming out of the Austin City Council.
Right. You've got Governor Greg Abbott, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick saying that they expect the legislature to address this next year when they meet. But one legislator who's not going to be there in the state capitol next year is State Senator Pat Fallon. Pat Fallon recently, this past weekend, getting elected essentially to Congress in a very interesting sort of way. It was a convention to fill a vacancy. We got the details on that if you want to read about that in the article below. But I wanted to talk to you, Michael, now that opens up a new Senate seat, a new state Senate seat in the Texas Senate, Pat Fallon's former seat. And already you've got some names being thrown around. One particularly interesting name we wrote about this week is Shelley Luther, who folks might remember for just a few months ago being put in jail for opening her Dallas area salon.
Yeah, look, Shelley Luther is kind of became a cause celeb both in Texas and some ways around the country, becoming in some ways the face of the resistance to these heavy-handed arbitrary rules that Governor Abbott has been issuing. I have to laugh a little bit, just going back to, talking about the Austin police thing, where Governor Abbott is saying, oh, well, the legislature needs to address this police funding question the next session. When, literally for the past 6 months, Greg Abbott has been operating as a one-man legislature. You would think with all the other powers he's created for himself, he could find some way to deal with the Austin Police Department on his own, which makes me think that maybe the governor, the lieutenant governor, and everyone else really don't that interested in solving it. They're interested in using this as some sort of talking point where they can say, see, I'm a conservative. I'm against the city of Austin, too. Give us some solutions. Give us some ideas. Don't just rail. And I think in some ways that is that's the value of a Shelley Luther campaign, in that she's one of the first ones to say, this governor is making rules that don't make sense. They're arbitrary. He's grabbing power. And that, I don't know where she stands on a lot of issues, but one thing we do know is that she's not a big fan of the arbitrary use of government. And so I think that, anyone who wants to discount her candidacy as, oh, she's just a salon owner, I've been in a number of events where I've seen more people wanting to line up to get pictures taken with the just a salon owner than want to get their pictures taken with the governor or the lieutenant governor or any other politician. So don't underestimate the value of a celebrity in these kind of races. But there's other folks looking at running too.
Yeah.
State Senator Drew Springer from
State Munster, Representative.
Texas. State Rep Drew Springer wanting to run for the state Senate, wanting to be a state senator. Drew Springer, not a real stellar record as a conservative. It's a very safe Republican seat. And there are a number of other folks whose names have started to be whispered and bandied about. State Representative Phil King, probably more conservative than Springer. His name has been talked about quite a bit because he lives in that district. But all this kind of rests with Pat Fallon, the current state senator, who is heading to Congress, but he doesn't have to give up his seat in the state Senate until early January 2021, at which point then the governor would call a special election sometime, you can see, like in February. So now you're talking about having, no senator for that month or two of an election. Plus, if you get a couple of state reps running, now you don't have, you knock out a couple of Republican state reps out of the mm-hmm. Texas House because they're too busy running for the next office, right? You could really see this having some serious consequences for the state budget, which we're already looking at $5+ billion shortfall, redistricting, various other big fights that we know are coming up in the legislature. Could be seriously impacted by the shuffle. Pat Fallon could resign his seat tomorrow. I mean, there is not a mathematical way he doesn't get elected to the
it's a very Republican district.
Yeah. He can safely order his curtains in his new office, and there is nothing that that stops him from dropping out of the state Senate tomorrow. That way, that sense he could be filled quite a bit earlier. No indication, though, that Mr. Fallon is going to do that.
Right, and that's something that we'll certainly be following at the TexasScorecard.com. Want to end last story, kind of a little bit of a lighter note here. You had earlier this summer, I think this one kind of got buried a little bit, but earlier this summer, you had Northside Independent School District, a San Antonio area school district. Their board of trustees voted on the name for their newest middle school, and that namesake is going to be Joe Strauss, as in the disgraced former speaker of the Texas House that folks might remember for being in there for a decade and joining with Democrats and killing conservative legislation. And I guess the question here is, what's the mascot going to be for that school?
Look, if they don't have the rhino as their mascot, they have missed a golden opportunity to link their official name with their mascot. I think that would be glorious. They could be the purple rhinos. It would be a fantastic mascot. I mean, I'm happy to help design the logo for them. I think they've got some great opportunities there.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Michael, for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, Brandon.
Thank you for listening to this week's Friday Roundup from Texas Scorecard. Remember, you can head to the Empower Texans Facebook page at 11 a.m. every Friday to watch the show live and get your questions in.